Welcome to Decapod, the podcast for the Roberts Lab NPRB-funded project investigating the effects of bitter crab disease and temperature changes on Southeast Alaskan tanner crabs. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Decapod. So in this episode, we have some special guests from the Roberts Lab, Shelley Trigg, who is a postdoc, and Laura Spencer, a PhD student. So this recording took place on November 7th, so 20 days ago, and I'm finally getting around to working with it. So before this recording happened, I spent a lot of time extracting RNA from crab hemolymph samples in order to get enough RNA for six new libraries. So the six libraries are from day 9, so prior to temperature treatment, infected and uninfected. And then there was 4 from day 12, infected cold, uninfected cold, infected warm, and uninfected warm. And before pooling those samples in order to send them off to a sequencing facility, it was recommended that I run them on the bioanalyzer to make sure that the RNA looks like it's in good condition. So this recording goes into us discussing the bioanalyzer results and coming up with a short-term plan. And then after that discussion, I'll come back on and share the results from that, and then what I've been up to since then, since this recording is now 20 days old. So without further ado, I didn't record the first several minutes of the meeting. I don't know why, I just didn't. So it kind of starts in like mid-sentence. So here we go.
And the electropherograms, those are called the top. There's a little spike around.
This meeting is being recorded.
There's a little spike that corresponds to the marker from each well at 25 seconds, I think, is what it is. So if you go back and look at Grace's stuff, it's not there. I mean, firstly, it would nicely represent the green line on each of those gel.
Lanes. Some have it, looks like.
But you can also see in the electropherograms that spike is not present. But it is present in the one with the ladder, and we're not going to address the ladder not producing anything at this point.
Could the green signal just be quenched by the other stuff? It looks like there's other stuff at the same level.
It's certainly possible. So,
especially in the fairgrounds, you can see that.
Yeah.
Although the couple of lanes there look pretty faint for that.
In any case, I mean.
Okay.
So that one right there, that peak?
Yeah.
25. Yeah, okay. So maybe a little bit more noise. Yeah.
So then after we saw that, Sam suggested I try running a blank one with just the reagents so that we'd know that everything works. Mm-hmm. And if you scroll down, it'll show that all of the reagents worked. The ladder didn't, but
So this shows that the marker is functional, and there aren't, there's no technical issues with Grace setting up the chip.
And Grace's fault.
Yeah, exactly.
It's in the samples.
Yeah.
So that black line then is the same. Is like the green line that we're looking for. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just curious about the difference between. If you go up to her samples, the samples that have like a gradient of gray versus the samples that have, just like a pocket,
like these ones,
these two lines,
We don't know.
Is does this give you 262:80 ratio?
No, but she did that,
And it was okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks great.
Oh,
so.
I was going to say, if that's deep, maybe that's DNA.
Can we generally say that there's higher molecular weight here than here?
Yeah.
Yes.
So we could say that this, if assuming no confounding factors, or with Laura's question, we could say this sample might be more degraded.
Yes, except I mean the molecular weight is too high for what you would expect to see
for
RNA.
Example. Okay.
Additionally, I mean the ribosomals should be the predominant.
Okay, which is lower than that.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's the next? How are we fixing this?
So I ran everything on the NanoDrop just to make sure that the samples are okay, and they are.
Okay.
So then Sam suggested running a chip using the kit's elution buffer as the samples.
Okay, that's a good
so,
idea.
But the elution that I used was just water. RNA
oh, it's just water?
Water.
Oh, they don't use an elution buffer?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Well, then, I mean, that answers that. Then,
yeah.
I wouldn't expect that to cause any issues.
Do you trust the NanoDrop?
Yes.
Okay.
And they also
for 260, 280 calculations.
Yeah.
Okay. And they did do qubits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you tried qubit with DNA, though? DNA qubit? Because what
with
if that
the RNA samples?
Yeah.
Right.
What if it shows something? I don't know.
Because
we'll that's weird that it's so high molecular weight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I agree.
So what
there
you
should
saying,
be a DNA treatment.
But if it doesn't
yeah,
work
there,
or whatever,
you,
I
save the DNA in separate.
No. Do you treat
things?
It? Do you treat the RNA with a DNase to get rid of potential DNA carryover?
Is that not part of the column?
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah.
I feel like
yeah.
there is a DNase treatment. Step.
There is a bottle, but I didn't use it in my protocol, and I don't know if you did. Maybe we just didn't talk about it.
I mean, if it's listed as an option of the protocol, I probably would have used it
because
can't think of a reason not to.
I bought a ton of
DNase.
Like concentrator, Zymo, concentrator, DNase, you know. I bought a kit that I don't think I'm going to use. So it's there.
Well, the other question I would have is is there a... And he said, they're making the RNA-seq libraries. Is there an issue with having carryover? If they're doing poly-A, then does it really matter if there's DNA
mm-hmm.
in there?
Not really.
Right.
Just for concentration purposes.
Right, but the qubit, again, I've never seen these machines. I don't know how to use them, but I'm assuming that they give just RNA concentration. So if you believe it, you know what the RNA concentration is, and it kind of doesn't matter if there's excess DNA.
Yes. Because the qubit is dye-based, so
right.
they make a dye that's
yep.
binds specifically
RNA.
So likely single-stranded
yeah.
oligos, so it shouldn't bind.
So
it
should. So what I'm getting at is one running theory is
mm-hmm.
this is just showing DNA, but DNA doesn't matter.
Right, and
but
that goes back to what Pam was saying, is that the amount of DNA present in the sample relative to the RNA happens to be so much higher than the RNA that
blows out the signal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And is this image, I'm trying to remember to when I used to do something that looks similar like that to a long time ago, but with DNA,
mm-hmm.
but you can only make black so black.
Yeah,
so
it assigns a maximal
yes.
value.
So, so if there's a poop ton of DNA up there and it's reached as black as you can get, then the RNA might not show up
right.
if it isn't that. Also, is that right? Is that possible with the bioanalyzer?
Yes, that would not surprise me that that is how it works.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's all relative?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is there a way to cut out the top of those graphs and
have it redo
and tweak
it?
The image? Or, but then,
no.
Okay. This is all just an automatic image?
Yeah. Or,
or this is,
you can select regions. There's definitely a way to select regions of the electropherograms for analysis. I don't know. I guess I've never tried seeing if when you select a region, if you can have it
calibrated
or adjust the scale of the.
Right.
Well,
we still have to go back and think about what our end goal is here. I mean, we certainly could. We know there's RNA.
Yep.
Yeah, this thing says that the qubit will not quantitate DNA, the RNA. HS kit
okay.
will not quantitate DNA. So that's,
cool.
yeah.
Definitely have RNA.
So then, yeah, we could just ignore the bioanalyzer stuff because we make the assumption that it's DNA.
Mm-hmm.
We have qubit concentrations, which we know are legit. We have
mm-hmm.
260-280 ratios that are solid. 260-230
mm-hmm.
ratios are also solid. Suggests perfect RNA.
Does the presence of DNA interfere with things like when you're making libraries?
Probably the they need to know the concentration, though, and if you don't.
We knew,
oh,
we
you have
we
it.
Had
okay,
DNA.
Yeah, then it's...
You just
yeah.
told us we had to.
Right,
had
sorry. I was thinking of something else.
I don't know. We haven't had that problem in the past. However, I mean, it's not... It can't be ruled out that, you know, there's molecular crowding or something that takes place because there's so much DNA
yeah.
carryover that... You know, it's preventing access of enzymes and stuff like that to the RNA.
Mm-hmm.
Can you add DNA at this step?
Yeah,
yes.
you can
yeah.
always you can always
okay.
do a DNA treatment at,
okay.
at any time. But
contact who's doing the preps here, the core.
I thought you were doing for us.
Yeah, you made good libraries, sent them back, and got them back quickly. That's what we need.
Yeah, across the street.
Because either whatever kit is going to be used or whoever's doing it, then maybe like whatever company, you can contact them and say, well, how does it work with the
yeah.
DNA contaminated samples?
So
is
we're really at
problem?
A crossroads is where,
it's
you know, how,
maybe crowding
how much do we want to troubleshoot something that whether, not knowing if it's a real problem or not, that's kind of where
right.
we are. I mean, there is that whole just, do we want to know the answer, which is interesting, but might not affect the quality. I mean, there's probably a simple way to just see if it's DNA by just DNAsing a couple of samples
yeah.
and running them on the bioanalyzer, and that would that would certainly just answer the question.
Yeah.
You could just,
and
before you DNA,
qubit.
Yeah.
Qubit DNA, yeah.
Oh.
Let's see if you can.
So not even, yeah.
That's it. Fastest way to know
if there's
DNA.
DNA. But you still don't, yeah, but you still wouldn't prove that that's DNA. Unless you got rid of the DNA.
Right.
But you would assume.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, Sam, did you tell me part of what they do over there when we send our samples is they are supposed to run the bioanalyzer?
Yeah, I mean, that's their
if
default. Because
they
pipeline.
See this and it's just getting blown out by DNA, I mean, they're going to say there's no RNA there, right?
Yeah, except they'll have qubit.
Okay.
Data as
okay.
well.
All right.
What's the DNA step look like? Sitting for an hour?
No.
No.
Significantly shorter.
Significantly shorter, but that's
but
as a treatment and a cleanup.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
but Laura was just saying
well,
that she hasn't kept it.
I mean, I have the, like the, I did the DNA thing where you basically like add a gel and then you spin it down and you take off the supernatant and it's done.
Mm-hmm.
But I also bought these Zymo cleaner concentrator columns, which basically allows you to like, at the same time, you know, you wash the DNA, but you also can concentrate it if you need to.
Elute and less volume.
Elute and
yeah.
less volume.
Yeah.
Which
so,
I don't think I'll be using. So
that could be an easy, quick way to clean up post DNA treatment as opposed
yeah.
to doing traditional chloroform.
Why is your
Oh, yeah, the turbo DNA
free.
Turbo
DNA free,
gotcha,
yeah.
Sorry, when you were saying gel thing, I
it was just like, yeah, super thick, very viscous.
Yeah, that's
thing.
The inactivation region.
Yeah.
Exactly. So what's the recommendation?
follow Laura's thing, use the turbo DNA. Well, first, I mean, just
I
do the qubit.
Qubit,
mm-hmm.
the
DNA
first.
Yeah,
there.
Yes, qubit
yeah.
first. And
the
then,
same samples.
Yeah.
yeah.
Yes. And then, I mean, the DNA's treatment using the turbo DNA free kit is quick and easy. 30 minutes.
Maybe just a couple samples, I mean, to check.
But maybe find out if it's actually going to be a problem, because if you do a poly A selection, like, will DNA interfere with that? Because if it doesn't, then
it doesn't
why
really.
Do it?
I mean, we've done it
yeah,
many times now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I And they're right
that's
here.
What,
yeah.
That's what I just said. I mean, we're at a crossroads of, how much time do we want to fix a problem that we don't know is a problem?
Right, so probably find out if it is a problem.
How do we know for sure?
Ask the tech support of the company that makes the kit. That's
okay.
What I think I would, because they would definitely say
the
yes
extraction
no.
kit?
The poly A selection.
The library kit. But it's in their best interest to say it's got to be perfect. Yeah. Sam, you don't have it.
Better to have
an
answer, I feel like, because then, yeah.
What?
Do you have an idea of what library prep
I feel like
you're using?
What you're doing is.
No, I mean, I would guess it's the standard Lumina, whatever they use for the NovaSeq or RNA-Seq. Yeah.
TrueSeq, or they have to
probably
Lumina.
But, I mean, same time when we submitted samples to them last time for RNA-Seq, they didn't make any stipulations regarding total RNA versus mRNA,
mm-hmm.
if it had to be pre-treated with DNA or anything like
yeah.
that, so they obviously aren't concerned.
Yeah, and we never
with
had
that.
I mean, yeah.
So, in my mind, it's potentially not an issue.
Can you just go talk to him? People are
going to
do the library
prep
and stuff.
Or
are you
in
person?
Yeah.
Crazy.
You have to like find it and then the door's locked. They're
true.
Like just knock on the door and then they don't hear you and you're just like, oh, until someone goes.
Never mind.
No, it's still worth it though. I think FaceTime's important. I think it matters with them. Like they like it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, however, I personally would still like to see samples DNA'd and see what the RNA actually looks
like.
Yeah.
All right. So it'd be nice
it's
to
probably,
see some
yeah,
like defined ribosomal bands to say yes, we're sending them intact.
Yeah.
Not degraded
RNA.
Yeah.
Can't
to know this stuff. So because we're speculating a lot, we could be right. But. Yeah, so do that. So to do some DNA bioships, whatever, analyzers. Also clean them up a few, three or four out of these, or them all, it doesn't really matter. Worst case scenario, we've lost, what is this? So my only issue is it probably, did you mix up your libraries here, or is this all one library?
This is all one library, but I only took, there's still a hemolymph that I can sample from extract it.
Okay. So you're fine.
I'm fine.
All right, so yeah, so do that. DNA it, chip it, DNA chip it, and then DNA it, and then, would you run it back on the chip or the bioanalyzer, or would you do the qubit first? Qubit before and after and bioanalyzer, or just?
Wait,
so you don't waste a chip.
Qubit before
probably
and
qubit.
After to see if it's there and not there.
Yeah.
And then?
Then of course, if it's not there, then it's bioanalyzer.
Yeah.
Yep, you got that. Qubit before and after and then bioanalyzer.
Okay.
Yeah. DNA qubit you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
DNA.
Yeah, to see if it's
right.
Not there,
plus
see if you got rid of it.
Yeah.
And then if the gel bioanalyzer looks beautiful, then we're pretty sure it was the DNA.
Okay.
That seem reasonable?
Mm-hmm.
That's great, there's RNA though.
Yeah. Most samples.
Cool.
So probably, I mean, I'm still gonna be optimistic and say next week we'll send something.
Mm-hmm.
That seem reasonable?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Sam?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems, this stuff's easy. You've done all the hard stuff. Sam, maybe you've already done this, but maybe it's worth reaching out, not in person, but over email. Of like, we got six libraries coming in. What do you imagine the timeline or timeframe?
Sure.
Just so we get a feel of what it is.
And I have to get a quote.
And
something.
Oh, you have to do that anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, why don't you just go ahead and do that then? Go and get a quote for the
six.
Okay. Yeah, we'll push forward with these six. Yeah. I think we're still good. If we get them over there, you know, before Christmas at least. And hopefully they'll get on the queue.
Mm-hmm.
Get back much faster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds good. That's all you've been working on, right?
Mm-hmm.
All day, all night.
How many samples did you do this past week?
24 times 6.
Wow.
That's so many. That's
24
at a time.
24
at a time.
That's awesome.
Yeah. My time kept getting better,
mm-hmm.
which was nice.
That's great.
Did your yields get better? Or they were pretty consistent.
Pretty similar.
Right? Pretty similar.
That's good.
That's probably
that's
more
good.
Dependent on the sample itself, whether how much sales are in there or not.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, are these infected or not infected?
These ones are, let me look at
the other thing. I wonder if there's anything related to infection that would,
yeah,
that would,
I think if you scroll up, it'll show a big table right here. So these are uninfected,
okay.
And one infected.
Okay, so primarily, it's definitely not correlated with infection.
These are uninfected?
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're getting good RNA reads off of uninfected.
Off of all of them.
She's done
okay.
All of them.
For qubit.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I would think that the infected would be much better than the uninfected in terms
mm-hmm.
of yield, but
yeah.
That's good.
I haven't actually
okay.
looked at that in particular, but there's RNA in
they look pretty
okay.
high. They're probably the same. You looked at them every day. There's really no big variation.
Huh.
But you mix it up across the day too.
Mm-hmm. All right, so if you'd like to look at the results from that plan, you can go to grace-ac.github.io and select the Browse by Date option, and then select the post from November 8th, 2019. So to recap what the plan was that we discussed in the meeting, it was that I would run 4 of the samples from the group that I initially ran on the bioanalyzer, which was the samples that we were discussing in the meeting, and run them on the qubit using a DNA high sensitivity kit. So that'll tell us how much DNA is in my samples. And then I would use the Turbo DNA Free Kit that Laura mentioned in order to try to get the DNA out of those samples. And then I would run the samples on the bioanalyzer and hopefully see some RNA bands, and then finally run those samples on the qubit using the DNA high sensitivity kit to see if the DNA free kit did anything. So in terms of results, with the initial qubit DNA high sensitivity kit, there was DNA in the samples and it was detectable. And then the DNA free kit was pretty simple to use, didn't have that many steps. And then I ran them on the bioanalyzer and there were still no bands of RNA. Yeah. So then I ran the samples after the DNA free process on the qubit again with the DNA high sensitivity kit. And there was less DNA. So the kit did work, but we still saw DNA in the bioanalyzer results, and that was potentially inhibiting the RNA from showing up. But regardless, there was still RNA in the samples, and it was detectable. So after speaking with Steven and Sam about that a couple more times about what to do about it, it was decided that I would just go ahead. I had to re-extract those samples because I had used so much of them during this whole process, but it wasn't a big deal because there was plenty of hemolymph from those same crabs at those time points. So I just redid that, and then it was decided I would just pool the samples, get the libraries ready, and then send them to the facility. So where we're at in that process right now is we just got our quote at the end of last week, and we're gonna go with the go ahead with it, and we're just kind of waiting to hear back from the facility in terms of how they want us to send them the samples. I think Sam mentioned to me something about putting them on a 96-well plate. I'm not really sure what all is going to be involved, but we're just waiting to hear back from the facility. And since tomorrow is a holiday, Thanksgiving, I'm assuming we probably won't hear back from them until next week. So I really, really hope that we hear back from them soon so that we can send those off next week, which will be the first week of December 2019, because the process of getting data back will take about 12 weeks, and I'm not sure how that's going to work with the December holidays and New Year's, so yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. Yeah, but I'm excited to have those pools ready, and I'm excited to get results back. And in the meantime, what I'll be doing is working with the new sequence data that we've had. Well, I guess not so new now. We got it, I think, in September for libraries that are from day 12 and day 26, infected and uninfected, so four libraries. So there's no temperature component. I did do a little work with those for the Graduate Student Symposium that was on November 14th, I believe, and there should be a recording of that talk posted soon on the School of Aquatic and Fishery Sciences YouTube channel. So once that's available, I'll post that on my notebook, or link to it on my notebook, so that for anyone who's interested in seeing some preliminary results, you can check that out. And again, my notebook will be at grace-ac.github.io. Yeah, so that's it for this episode. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to Decapod, the podcast dedicated to the Tanner Crab Project funded by NPRB. Check out our website at bittercrab.science for more information.